Do we really believe he's the God of miracles? Do we really believe that he can cause the blind to see and give life to the dead? If you got your Bibles, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel. If you don't know where the book of Ezekiel is, find the book of Psalms. It's right in the middle of your Bible. Take a right. Proverbs. What's after Proverbs? Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. If you got your Bibles, when you get to Ezekiel chapter 37, hold this Bible up. Hold it up like this for me when you get there. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew back right in front of you. Is this the Bible? Is it in the infallible Word of God? Yes. Do we believe that? Yes. Okay, you put your Bible down. Are the things written in it true? Can we believe it? Yes, because it is in the infallible Word of God. Can God make the impossible possible? We're just saying that we serve a God of miracles. Do we really believe that? Is it a trustworthy statement that when God shows up, he shows out? We're fixing to read a story in Ezekiel 37. And we're going to see where God shows up, he shows out. 37:1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry, dead. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered him, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling of the bones came together." I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we need to hear a rattling of the bones. Not Halloween bones, the bones of God's people. It's time to hear a rattling. "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had came upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied and said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that we can come to your house. Father, we just pray that you speak to us this morning through your word. Father, we thank you that you have the power to raise dead bones. Father, we pray that your work will be done here in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. First, before we get started this morning, or as we get started, I want to look at the context of the scripture. In context, this scripture is talking about the nation of Israel. Israel has found themselves in captivity in Babylon because of their disobedience to walk the way God wanted them to walk. Because of their rebellion against God's commandments, and God was judging them. And we know that Ezekiel was a prophet like Jeremiah. And we'll read here in a little bit that the children of Israel is a whole lot like we are today. They were pretty hard-headed. In fact, God told them, Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you. They won't listen to you. And even Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, how long do I preach and they not repent?" So the task that Ezekiel had was a hard task. It wasn't anything that was going to be easy for him, but still, nonetheless, he was commanded to do it. And we see and we know that there's coming a day that Jesus is going to come back to get us. And that's all contingent on the nation of Israel. It's not contingent on the church in the United States. I get really aggravated when we see things that's going on today, and no doubt we're in trouble, right? Our nation is in trouble. But I want to tell you this morning that Gabriel's not up in heaven getting ready to blow the trumpet because the United States is falling apart. It's all contingent on the nation of Israel. God is going to come back, and he's going to get his children, the children of the church, but the nation of Israel. And this is a picture of what God is doing in the nation. And we read in the text this morning, first he breathed life into these dead bones. And we see that happening even in some of our lives. I wasn't born then, but some of you guys were. In 1948, Israel became a nation. Israel became a state. The Cold War, you guys remember studying about the Cold War? It was a prophecy coming that God was fulfilling. How in the world can someone say this is not true when we're living prophecies right before our eyes? If you'll just read the word, you'll see that what's in it's happening. We've seen this happening. This is coming. There's coming a day that Jesus is going to breathe life back into his people, the children of Israel. Right now, he's brought them back up. They are a nation. Now, they don't possess all the land that he promised them back in the Old Testament. There's still other countries that own that land. But you come against the nation of Israel and see what happens. And I tell you, it makes me sick that the United States of America, I don't know if we went to war right now or if Israel was in war, would we back them? And Scripture tells us if we don't, woe to us. Woe to the nation that doesn't support Israel. So as we're going through this, I don't want you guys to think that we're talking about the state of the United States. This is the state of Israel. This is the nation of Israel that this Scripture is speaking of. We see that God's promises all through the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was prophesying to the people what was going to happen because of their rebellion. Well, in about chapter 35 or 36, it changes. And God starts telling them what's going to happen. He's going to restore his people. That's what this is a picture of. And I tell you, it wasn't a good thing for Ezekiel to have to do. It was a hard thing. I'm going to flip back over to chapter 3 if you guys want to turn there. And look at in verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 says this, "And he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent unto a people of foreign speech in a hard language, but unto the house of Israel." Not too many people of foreign speech into a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen. So God tells Ezekiel, look, I'm not sending you to a foreign country where they can't understand what you're saying. But you know what? They'd listen a whole lot more than my people are going to listen to you. Ezekiel, they're not going to listen. Listen to what he says. If I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because of the house of Israel, I have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Now, I thought this was kind of comical right here, okay? Listen to what God does to a preacher of a church. Now, y'all can decide for yourself if you're hard-headed and if your brother Robert's hard-headed. But listen to what God said to Ezekiel. "For they are hard-headed and stubborn in heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Fear them not, nor to be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house." God gives a pastor for church something, and it's that something inside them. And it says, I'm going to be as hard-headed as you. My job is to preach the Word of God. And aren't you glad that we have a pastor that will do that? Aren't you glad that we have a pastor that comes up here week after week after week, right in the middle of building a house, and doing all those things that he's called to do, even at work. But he'll stand up here and declare, thus says the Lord. Whether we like it or whether we don't. Ezekiel had a hard job to do. And I'll tell you this, and I'll let you guys go and find this afternoon or next week or whenever you got to. You would not want to go to a cookout with Ezekiel. Now, there's some laughs out there, and some of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get in the book of Ezekiel and see why you wouldn't want to go to barbecue at that old boy's house. There's a lots of things I don't understand about Ezekiel. That's one of them. But it's truth. It's here. Y'all are going, what's he talking about? Look, I think it's in chapter 4. Y'all look. So anyway, we see that this morning we're speaking, or the text is speaking of the nation of Israel. Ezekiel 37:11 says this, and he said to them, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, say, O bones are dry. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open up your graves, and I will raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Lord your God. What a promise. What a promise. Israel saying, hey, we're cut off. There's no hope. God says, there is hope. In me, you find hope. In me, you find forgiveness. In me, you find hope. So we see that that's the context of the scripture. Let's try to explain it just a little bit. Let's put ourselves just for a little bit this morning in Ezekiel's shoes. Let's be Ezekiel this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me, he says. And that's another thing that we ought to be proud of. And I think I just said it a while ago, that our pastor, God has touched him. None of this could happen if the man leading wasn't anointed by God, wasn't touched. Now, we know that this didn't literally happen to Ezekiel. This was a vision that he saw. Okay? But let's read on. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. Ezekiel says it was full of bones. Now, I don't know what he was thinking, but the Bible says he brought me out then and he set me down. So he's looking at the field of these bones. Now, you know what he's thinking? These are dry bones. These are dead bones. Then the Bible says he led me around. So he set me down and he picked me back up. Wonder why he set him down for a little bit. He set him down, he picked him back up. He said, come on, Ezekiel, let's go, let's walk around. Let's see. Let's see what's happening. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. Were there a few bones? No, there was a lot of bones. Lots of bones. And behold, they were very dry. Very dry. I know we got a lot of guys in here this morning that run cows. We have cows that die and we drag them off, you know, let them decay, or hunt season's, you know, upon us. And you know, you'll walk across a set of antlers that's been there for a while. They're dry. They're brittle. There's no life in them. I believe the scriptures wanted us to know this because, so somebody can't say, well, these guys weren't really all that dead. They hadn't been dead that long. No, these bones had been dead. There was no marrow left in these bones. There was no DNA. There was no stem cell left in the bones. They were dry. They were brittle. They were dead. This is what God says. And he said to them, or he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, Ezekiel's pretty smart. You know what he's thinking? Probably to himself, I don't know. It didn't say, but I'm thinking, if it's me, I'm thinking, there ain't no way. Ain't no way. These bones are dead. They dead, dead. They dry, dry. But you know what he said? Oh, God, you know. God, you know. God, Ezekiel understood one thing about God, that God knows. If anybody can bring life to dead bones, it's God. God can. Ezekiel knew that. Can we say that this morning? Hey, we can't understand things, but we know God can. I can't explain things, but I know God can. I know that my God is a miracle worker. I know that my God can bring life to death. I can't explain it. It can't be taught, but God can. Ezekiel said, oh, Lord, you know. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I shall cause breath to enter them, and you shall live, and they shall live, and I will lay sinews upon them and will cause flesh to come upon them and cover them with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So, Well, what did Ezekiel do? He did just what God asked him to do. He prophesied to dead bones. Now, how silly is that? A man of God going out into a field or a pasture or a valley and preaching to dead bones? There's nobody there. And what's there is dead. And what's there has been dead so long they dried and cracked up. But God said, do it. So what did Ezekiel do? He did it. He obeyed. So he's preaching to dead bones. And how foolish is that? Think about it. How foolish is it to go out in your pasture and preach to a dead bone? Thus says the Lord, you're going to come to life. God said it, I believe it, so I'm preaching to you. Then what happens? Then there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm preaching to dead bones and they're starting to rattle a little bit, oh, Gary, I might be getting ready to get out of there. I told some guys the other day that, you know, we're all scared of something. I'm scared of what's behind the door. You want to scare me? You come knock on my door late at night. I'm scared. I'm straight up scared. You know, I don't know if Ezekiel got scared with these bones, but these bones are rattling. And they came together, bone to its bone. I was talking to Brother Robert about this last night. Are y'all thinking about that song right now? Foot bones connect to the leg bone. That's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle in a miracle. Not only that God can raise dead bones, not only can he give life to something that was dead, but this field is full of a bunch of bones. Not one man's bone, a bunch of bones. How did this foot bone know to get connected to that leg bone, get connected to that hip bone? Because they were put back together right. That's God. That's God. This is a battlefield. We don't know how these bones were scattered out, but we do know they all came back together because of God. God did this. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe to these slain that they may live. So again, Ezekiel prophesied, and as he was commanded, and breath came to them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Whew! I don't know about you guys, but don't you think old Ezekiel was, he was clapping? Yeah, he was. He had to be excited. He had to be excited. Robert comes in here and he preaches week after week after week after week, and nobody moves, and finally somebody moves. You don't think he gets excited? Yes. A man of God wants to see the power of God, not what comes out of his mouth, because what comes out of our mouth is just stuff, words. But when God speaks through the man, and when the word of God moves in the heart, we see a miracle. He gets excited. The man of God gets excited. Ezekiel was excited. So, we give you the context of it. We explained it. Now, let's apply it. What does it mean to you and I? What does God's power, being able to put life into dead bones and causing dead bones to live, what does that mean to you and I? Well, first we see a picture of the rapture of the church. Thessalonians said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up and meet him in the air. It's a picture of this. We see our old dead bones. Somehow, some way God does it. I don't know how he does it. I can't explain it. You don't have to be buried in the ground. You don't have to be in a grave. If you've died and you're in Christ, and you drown and you're in the bottom of the lake or the bottom of the ocean, you're going to be raised up somehow. God's going to put you back together, Scripture says. We're going to meet him in air. This is a picture of that. This is a picture that God can put us back together. He can cause the dead to live. It's also a picture of a revival in the church. I want to ask you this morning, are we a little dry? If he's honest with yourself, are you spiritually dry this morning? Do we need a touch? Do our bones need to rattle a little bit? We got a good turnout here this morning. And I might be fishing to make some people upset, but that's okay. I got a hard head. God give me a hard head. If we were doing what we ought to be doing as members of Oak Wind Baptist Church, if we were living our life out every day like we ought to for God, these chairs would be full every Sunday morning. And they're not. Why is that? Why? Now we can blame it on, it's just an old sinful world. We can't get people to come. Yes, we can. We can blame it on that. But is it because our lost friends, is it because our community don't see God in us enough to know there's something different about us? There has to be something different, or the lost world's not wanting to come in and hear what we're hearing. Our dead bones need to be rattled. There needs to be a stirring in our heart. We've already said that we have a pastor that comes in and speaks the word to us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And there is no change. There's no change in us. We're the same. And we ought not be. God says, now's the time. Today's the day. What are we waiting on? You look around and see everything that's going on bad in the world. We know that the coming is getting close. It's got to be. All the prophecy that's already been fulfilled. God's coming is getting close. We live our life just like the world lives our lives. Me too. I'm taking my halo off. I don't even have one, but if I had one, I'd take it off. And I'm speaking to me just this morning just as much as I am to y'all. I get so caught up in the world and what I want to do, I'm no good for God at all. Why? I got dry bones. God needs to do a work in my life. I need revival in my heart. I need revival in my home. Are you dry this morning? Do you believe if your family's falling apart, God has the ability and He has the power to put it back together? Do you believe that God can change your heart? If He can raise dead bones, if He can put skin back on dead bones and they can live, then certainly He can move in our heart. Certainly He has that power. We're saying He can move a mountain. If He can move a mountain, can't He move my heart? Is it because I'm not allowing Him to? Is it because He's blessed me so much that I don't have time for Him? What is it? What's keeping me from revival in my heart? There's four components of revival. Four. I'm going to give you them four and then we're done. Faith. If we want revival in our heart, if we want revival in our home, if we want God to put things that are broken back together, the first thing we have to have is faith. We have to believe that what God says is true. Knowing that what's in this scripture, I mean, everybody just agreed to it a while ago, that we believe what's in this Bible is true. All right, if we agree that, if we admit that it's true, then let's live by it. Let's take it for what it's worth, for what it is. It's the Word of God. You notice God didn't tell Ezekiel when he started preaching to those bones, well, Ezekiel, say whatever you can to them. They don't listen. They're probably not going to listen anyway. They're dead. So get up there and tell them a poem or tell them a story. 3 points that all come, that all start with the same word. I don't know what that means, but preachers are real good about that. They're going to give you 3 points and all start with the same letter. What do you call that? I don't know. You teachers ought to know what I'm talking about. Anyway, there's something about that. Yeah, CCC or DDD. Anyway. No, God didn't tell Ezekiel that. He told him to preach the word. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. And then if we believe it, if we have faith to believe it, we have to obey it. Point number two. In revival is we have to obey what God tells us to do. Chapter after chapter after chapter in the book of Ezekiel, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. Go do this. Go prophesy this. Go prophesy that. We find Ezekiel answer the call every time, every time, every time. We want God to change us. We want God to move in our lives. Then when He tells us to do something, we got to do it. We got to believe it, and we got to obey it.
A couple weeks ago, Brother Robert told us that before we teach, we got to know what we teach, and then we got to believe what we teach, and we can't obey what we don't believe. So I'm asking you this morning, what do you believe? If you believe that God is true, if you believe everything in this scripture is true, if you believe he has the power, then it's time to obey. It's time to obey what he says. And number three is we do it by the word of God. I just said this a while ago. Guys, if we want our lives to be changed, we've got to get in this book. We've got to listen to what he says. He has the power, and he loves us, and he gave us a way through Christ. We've got to listen to that. We've got to know that. That's got to be in our heart. The Bible says if we hide a word in our heart, we wouldn't sin against him. We've got to know the scriptures well enough for it to be in us, for it to change us. And lastly, and I think it's the one that we're most scared of, is we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I want to be honest, guys, I think it scares us. I think it scares a lot of us. Because I believe we know if God really changed, if we allow God to really change our hearts, he'd ask us to do something we don't want to do. When God stirs in a man's heart, there's going to be things that's going to be changed. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We can't quench the Spirit. Revival. Revival in our church. Revival in our homes. Revival in the hearts of the daddies. Where are the daddies? Where are the daddies in our home? Satan has done a great job of destroying our homes. And guys, I believe it comes through the daddies. You see so many little boys and girls being raised by mamas because daddy's not in the picture. That's heartbreaking. I serve a God that can rattle some bones. I serve a God that can make dead bones live. I serve a God that can put those homes back together. I serve a God that can make daddies come back home and be the daddies they ought to be. If we'll be obedient to the Spirit, if we'll obey His Word, if we'll have faith that He is what He says He is, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So I'm going to ask you this morning, where are you at? In a valley of dead bones? Does God need to stir some rattling in your heart? I know He does mine. Oh God, rattle the bones. Rattle my bones. Wake me up. Put your Spirit in me. Set me on fire. My community, I need it. My family needs it. My church needs it. My community needs it. They need to see godly men not afraid to live for the Lord. Not afraid to let the Holy Spirit live through them. And yeah, we're going to put some things down. You can't take what God's giving you if you won't open your hand. You won't open your hand if you're holding on to something you ought not hold on to. This world has a lot of things to offer to us. A lot of it's fun, and a lot of it feels good, and a lot of it tastes good. I can't be what I ought to be. I can't be what God wants me to be. I got a dip of snuff in my mouth. I got a skull ring on my back pocket. And I want you to know there was a time in my life I was proud of that skull ring. Y'all laugh if you want to. There was a time in my life I was a Marlboro man, and I thought I was cool because I was a Marlboro. I didn't look like him, but I thought I was a Marlboro man. Just being honest. Y'all remember the Marlboro man? Y'all remember the ones old enough to remember? Yeah. Yeah, I dipped my snuff. And I drank my beer. And it was good. is real good. I'm not going to tell you this morning. This Bible right here tells you that you got to be a teetotaler to be a believer. You read it and see what it says. But I'll tell you this. The reason I don't partake of alcohol, the reason I don't dip snuff, it ain't because Gary don't want to. You open up a can of snuff around me and watch my nose. I smell it. Smells good. Same thing with that cold beer. You know why I don't? Because God said, Gary, you live in East Texas, and I want you to witness to your buddies. I want you to be set apart. Guys, I'd love to sit around the back of a truck and drink cold beer with you. But if I did, I couldn't witness to you. I'm not talking about y'all, but I'm just talking about the lost world. I'd love to do that. I got buddies of mine that drink. Good guys. Good guys. Are they bad because they drink? Not if God didn't tell them not to. God told me not to. God told me to put it down. Put it down, Gary, because there might be a day a guy's watching you. And you want to share your faith with him. And the reason he don't listen to you is because how you live your life. That's revival. I'm not patting myself on the back because I'm telling you, it's a struggle. And it's a struggle to this day not to do the things that my flesh says do. I'm just using myself as an example of let the Holy Spirit work in your life if we want revival. Can God bring dead bones to life? Can he? It's a question. Do you believe it? Can God change your heart? Yes. Yes, he can, if you'll let him. Be obedient and let the Spirit move in you.